Start. We're in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let's see. Double check. I'm good. All right. Well, we're thankful to be here. Just going to share a little bit about how God led us specifically to Anaconda. I guess it was almost 8 years ago, 2016. The Lord, in a missions conference at Ambassador, there was a missions conference, and it was entitled Holding the Ropes. And they spoke of how can we send missionaries other places if we need missionaries here, right? And I remember during that missions conference, everything about the West stood out to me. And I didn't know what that meant, I had no idea. But I began praying, Lord, if that's something you want me to pursue, would you continue to open the doors? And it was the next summer, that was my freshman year, sophomore year, we were put into a quartet. We weren't supposed to travel at all. Just during the semester, we were supposed to travel. And then I found out we were supposed to travel. And I thought, well, that'll be exciting. And then I found out we're supposed to travel out west. I was like, that's interesting, right? It's neat how God directs us. And then during that trip, we actually had a men and boys camp with a couple churches in the area. They got together in the middle of the woods. And I remember there were several messages, but I only remember one of them. But the evangelist that was speaking, he preached that night, or maybe the afternoon, on he preached on Abraham, and he spoke of the verse, Abraham went out of his country into a land he did not know of. And it was that verse that the Lord was like, this is where I want you. And I didn't know when and where. I was still in the middle of college. But I continued to pray about it, and I came into my junior year, and that year I'd met Alyssa a long time ago, but we got to know each other, began talking with each other, and I said, what are your plans for the future, right? Do you have anything you're going for? She's like, well, during that first missions conference, God really burdened my heart for the West. I was like, this is good to hear, right? And the rest is history, I guess, but then it was in 2020, right after we got married, I called a pastor that we had visited with. Actually, he was at the Men and Boys camp out, and he says, well, does anybody need help out there? What can I do to get to know the people, get to know what's going on? He says, well, you need to come out in the winter first. And he was right. I need to come out in the winter first, see what the winters were about. And during that time, God ended up leading us to Butte, Montana, where we served alongside of a pastor. And during that time, I guess it was 20, 30 minutes away was a town of Anaconda. And we would have people come to visit our church there, but they often wouldn't stay because as soon as the roads would get icy, they weren't going to travel the trip to make it to church. And there was no good church in the town of Anaconda. And I could take you to 4 or 5 churches in the area that don't have good churches in the area there, and all across Montana, the Northwest. You guys know that there's a huge need. But Anaconda, just the Lord began to burden my heart for the people of Anaconda. And I have a business there, small engine repair business. And it seemed like all my customers, or not all of them, all right, but to me, in my mind, all my customers were from Anaconda, right? And I began building relationships, and just there's a huge need in Anaconda for a church. I began praying, Lord, if you'd have us to go there, would you let me continue to guide and direct? And he's done that and just opened doors left and right, and we're excited for what God has for us and excited for what he has for Anaconda. And hopefully you're there, John chapter 4. I'm going to read a verse that in my mind, I'm praying, and I would love if this happened in Anaconda, Montana. But hopefully tonight it will challenge you and your hearts that this would happen right here in Shelby, North Carolina. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 39 of John chapter 4. This is a familiar story, all right, but maybe we can learn some things from it. But verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And there many more believed because of his own word. Wouldn't that be amazing if that could happen in Shelby, North Carolina tonight? I mean, wouldn't that be an exciting thing? That's my prayer for Anaconda, Montana, but maybe it should be your prayer for Shelby, North Carolina tonight. And before we jump into this tonight, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, all right? Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you have us here for a reason. Lord, you have a purpose for our lives. And Lord, that's to share your word and share everything about you that we can. Lord, help us to glean something from your word tonight. Help me to stand aside and just your word would speak to us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'd like to preach to you a message entitled The Heart of a Soul Winner. The Heart of a Soul Winner. I don't think there's anybody else better to look at to see who's a heart of soul winning, all right, but the Lord Jesus himself. And maybe this is a familiar story, but hopefully we can glean something from it tonight, right? Maybe just something, nothing new, but that will refresh our minds on what we are to be doing in our Christian life. Let's begin reading. We want that to happen in our town, right? It'd be amazing if it happened in Shelby, North Carolina. It'd be amazing if it happened in Anaconda, Montana, and each town's around. But how did it all begin? Let's begin chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Verse 4 there, he must needs go through Samaria. We find here that Jesus was willing and ready to do anything that it was going to take, all right, to share God's word. And the first thing here is obedience. And I think in our lives, we don't know everything. I think Jesus here, obviously, he knew that there was going to be a lady at the well at this time of the day, and he needed to see her. He needed to meet her. But who is inside of us tonight? The Holy Spirit. We have that same connection, although we're not God, but he can lead us to the people we need to know, and we need to be ready to obey. Christ saw the whole picture and knew that where he needed to be. And the Holy Spirit desires for us to do the same. We probably all know this verse, but Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is what Jesus left the disciples with. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You see, that same power that Jesus had when he was talking to this Samaritan lady, and we're going to look at that in a little bit, but the same power that he had to know that that lady was going to be there, that same power lives inside of us tonight, right? That same power lives inside of us, and God wants to lead us to those same places. I think sometimes I'm getting a little bit ahead, but we can get so focused on everything going on around us, we forget to listen to the Holy Spirit, don't we? Right? What if God is pricking my heart to go somewhere, to tell somebody? You know, this evening, God wants to use you to preach his word to others. The Holy Ghost has given to us all the power we need to be able to witness. But are you willing to obey it tonight? If the Holy Spirit challenged you to go across the street to your neighbor when you're marching through Walmart, right, on a mission to get in and out, are you willing to tell someone about the Lord? What if the Holy Spirit has divinely put you and this other person in his path at the same time for a reason? And what do? We just focus on our task and go about it, right? Here Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. This wasn't something that was practical for him. This wasn't something that the disciples thought was they should even be doing, right? But Jesus knew what needed to happen. If you're there, I don't know if you turned to Acts chapter 1, but I'm going to read another verse here. Right after Jesus has says that to them, that there's going to be all power is given unto them, verse 14 says, talking about the disciples that he just told, verse 14 says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." You know, I think that if we read through the book of Acts, we see a great revival, right? I mean, thousands flocking to the Lord. Maybe even like the Samaritan here, a whole town kind of turned upside down for the Lord. But how did it all start? It started with a group of disciples that got really close to the Lord. They got really close to that Holy Spirit that was going to empower them. And in our lives, if we're not getting close to the Lord, if we're not opening up his word and seeking what he has for our lives, then how are we supposed to have that power, listen to that power inside of us, right? We need to be growing close to the Lord so that we know when he tells us to go somewhere, we already know it's him, right? He's already been working in our lives to lead us to this point. Are you in tune with God and the Holy Spirit? Are you equipped to go into action as soon as you're supposed to? You know, sometimes in my life, it's maybe somebody comes up in my life and they are everything about it. I know I'm supposed to witness to this person, but I'm not in tune with the Lord to know what to say sometimes, right? And instead, I should be in tune with the Lord, ready to go. This evening, where's the Holy Spirit leading you? And if you know, will you obey? Are you ready to obey? Are you willing to do what he'd have for you? You know, it's a neat here, I think, first of all, that we need to obey, all right? And we see Christ, in a sense, all right, his obedience to go. He went out of his way to do this, but also his preparedness, all right? We see some obedience, his preparedness. Look at verse 10 here, let's look at verse 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there. This is where Jesus was at. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, we all know the story, all right? But this is ultimately the first line that the Bible records that Jesus said to her, all right? Immediately, I think in Jesus' mind, here he was wearied. He was tired. He had been walking for hours, right? It was the sixth hour of the day. And here the lady walks up, and he's ready to give her the gospel, right? He's ready to engage this lady. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go into Walmart or I'm done with work at the end of the day, and I'm ready to get in and get out, I'm ready to ignore everybody around me, right? Complete that one mission. But here Jesus, he was wearied, he was tired, and yet he was ready to give the gospel, to drop the hat. How ready are we tonight? Are we ready at no matter what time to give the gospel to someone? It's a study of chapter 4 here, looking at the story. I looked across the page at chapter 3. I think this is amazing. Verse 3, we know this story, or chapter 3, we know this story as well. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by when? By night. How many of you are ready when you're in bed, maybe your garage door is closed, the doors are locked, the windows are closed, are ready to give the gospel to somebody? We're done with people, right? We're done. Maybe we're eating supper. We don't want to deal with people anymore. It's family time. It's our recoup time so we can hit it again tomorrow. But here is Jesus in the middle of the night giving the gospel to someone. He was ready at any time. If the Holy Spirit laid on your heart right now, tonight, after church, right? It's the downtime, right? Get ready for the week. Here it comes. But what if the Lord laid on your heart to share the gospel with someone? Would you be ready? Jesus was ready, right? He was ready to go. Christ was willing to stop anything and everything to witness and to share the gospel with someone. Are you willing to do the same? I think of Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is your focus tonight? Is it first the Lord? Or is it first what we need? Are we willing to just give everything aside? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our single focus should be to glorify God by sharing him to others. This morning we were looking at some passages on coming and seeing the Lord. And when we think about everything that God has done in our lives, right? He saved us and now he takes care of us day by day. None of you look needy. You're all wearing clothes. You all look like you've eaten a meal some point today. All right. God takes care of those things, but yet we don't want to tell other people about them. We should be ready. We should be willing. We should be excited to tell other people about the Lord. This is what it's all about. We're here to glorify God. Jesus was always ready to go out of his way to talk to someone. The same trip while we were traveling, we stopped at Camp Joy. And I remember there was one of the guys in the quartet. I would like tinker with chainsaws. I wasn't very good on small engines necessarily yet. But the camp director had a mower at his house that was not working. And of course, the other guy, there's always someone in the group, right? He's like, oh, Caleb works on them, right? I didn't know how to work on them, to be honest, at that point. All right. I thought, I don't know much. He's like, no, you need to come look at it. And I remember the camp director in the middle of camp, it was the middle of family camp that week. He loaded me up into his van, and not quite like that. I guess I walked into the van, all right? But I got into his van, and he took me to his house. I remember I was sitting there filling with the lawnmower, and I didn't have the right tools. It was not going well. And I thought, oh, man, I've wasted this guy's time. He should be at the camp doing his thing. Here I am working on his mower, and I'm not going to fix it. And so I kind of tinkered with it, and I remember getting back in the van, and I was just kind of apologizing. I'm sorry I wasn't able to fix it. And I remember he told me something that day that has stuck with me ever since. But he says he sees every chance as a God-ordained opportunity to talk or spend time with that person. Every opportunity. I think sometimes we can get so upset at the inconveniences of life, right? When our vehicle breaks down and we have to talk to a mechanic, we don't really want to talk to the mechanic, right? We don't really want to do these things, but yet God has ordained this opportunity for us to be able to talk to them, to be able to share our light, right? Let your light so shine before men. You know, what or who is it that God's ordained you to talk to tonight? Who is he going to ordain you to talk to on your ride home this evening? Who is he going to ordain in your neighborhood that's going to come talk to you? Who tomorrow morning when you go to work, who are you going to be around? Who has God put into your life that you need to share the gospel with? That you need to be an example or a testimony of who God is? Now look at verse 31 here of this chapter, right here, John chapter 4. It says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, many of his disciples, one to another, said one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now, we would probably be thinking the same thing as disciples. Who brought them food, right? We're starving. Maybe they'd already eaten. How's this guy still going on? But here Jesus had set everything aside and focused in on what was important. And that was bringing glory to the Father. And tonight we need to be doing the same, do we not? Just set everything aside. Get out of the focus, out of the rat race sometimes of life. And Lord, who can I share the gospel with? Who can I be building a relationship so that I can share the gospel with them? Christ set aside his hunger, his weariness, everything to witness to this lady here. Now, what are you willing to set aside this evening? What is it that would stand in your way with sharing the gospel with someone else? You know, the third thing we see is there was an expectation. I think this is very neat of the Lord and something that we should have in our lives. But look at verse 36. It says, or we'll start at verse 35 where we left off. It says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You know, I think Jesus and Christ here had the idea, he already knew that this lady was going to get saved. He, in his mind, and obviously God knows everything, all right? He knew the lady was going to get saved. He knew that they were going to go back and tell others, and these people were going to get saved. But how many times do we go into a witnessing opportunity and think, this is my duty, this is what I have to do, and we don't really expect anything, do we? We don't expect the person to pray right then. We don't expect the person to bow a knee and say, Lord, will you do this in my life? Will you forgive me my sins and save me? But Christ here was expectant. He says, there are harvests to reap all around us, right? He says, we are ready to reap the harvest. You know, I don't think God demands us that we reap, but rather that we are laboring. I think of 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7. Paul was writing to the Corinthians. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is it he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God who giveth the increase. There's a deacon in our sending church that tells this story several times. He's told me it's a pretty neat story. But he was in college. He was in Greek class, and they began a prayer meeting. Of course, Greek class is a good place to have a prayer meeting, all right? But with all the guys that were around him, they began a prayer meeting. And he asked prayer, requested prayer for one of the ladies. Her name was Vicky that he was working with. And he would come to Vicky, he would share the gospel, and she just wouldn't accept it. And he would try to meet her at, sometimes she would come to the lunch table, and he would try to share the gospel again. And he kept going to her, and he'd share it with her. Well, eventually, Vicky got moved to another part of the business, or another part of the company, and he didn't get to see her that much. He would try to encourage her when he could. And the next thing he knew, she had left, and she no longer worked at the company. But it's pretty neat. While one day they were praying for Vicky, they continued to pray for her. One of the guys kind of raised his hand, or they were in the middle of the prayer meeting, and he says, you know what? He says, there's a lady, new lady, that started working at my place of work, and we sat down for lunch yesterday, and I was able to lead her to the Lord. Her name was Vicky. And it was the same lady that they had been praying for all along. You see, Mr. Paulson, he just watered the seed. Maybe he planted the seed. Maybe he watered, but they began praying with the expectation that this lady's going to get saved. Vicky was going to get saved. And no, maybe he didn't get to reap the harvest that day, but he sure got to sow it, right? He sure got to water it, and therefore he was part of the harvest. We grow plants with the expectation of them growing, right? We don't plant a tomato plant and expect to grow or pick a tomato tomorrow. I wish it worked that way, right? That'd be pretty amazing. I'd probably plant one tonight. But we don't expect it to happen all at once. Rather, what do? We plant the seed, and we water it, and we water it, and we water it, and we water it, and we pull the weeds, and we water it. And eventually there's fruit, is there not? And all God wants us to do tonight is to be laboring in his fields. You see, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We need to be willing to set everything out aside to obey. You know, we need to be aware. We need to be ready for whatever God has. We need to be prepared to give the gospel. But then we need to expect God to do great things. Amen. And God gave the increase. Who is God burdening your heart for tonight? Who is it that you know that I need to be sharing the gospel with? I need to be building a relationship with? I need to be working on them and encouraging them in the Lord? Who does God want you to water with prayer tonight? Who would it be? There was a man at the church where we're going to. He actually was a neighbor of mine. He had done some drugs and things, and I had built a relationship with him, and I had planted the seed, right? He came up upon hard times, and I would always say, you need the Lord, right? And we just pointed towards the Lord all the time. And he started coming to our RU meetings, and I was watering the seed, right? You need the Lord to get you through these things, to work on these things. And I still remember the night that he accepted the Lord, the pastor of the church there, and the guy that led the RU led him to the Lord. And I thought, here I am. I've watered and watered that seed, and they got to reap the harvest. Right? It was disappointing, but also it was a wonderful thing, right? To think that God had saved. All God expects us to do is labor. There was another man that was in the hospital. He would attend church regularly, just over and over again. He would come with his wife. His wife was saved. He would hear the gospel. he was diagnosed with terminal cancer in one of his livers, and they said, you only have just a couple months to live, and maybe even weeks at that. And I remember we would go by, I would go by, and I would share the gospel, right? You need to get saved. Like, it's coming down to the end. And he knew, he understood, he had the knowledge, but he wanted to accept Christ. I remember there was a quiet man in our church. He rarely said, he said very few words, but he was sitting in the back, and he said, he decided, the whole church was praying for him to be saved, and he decided that night, he said, the Lord wouldn't let me sleep. I was going to go by and talk to that man. You know, that man led this man to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Right? God wants to use each one of us tonight. Whether it's planting a seed, whether it's watering the seed, whatever it is, let's let God give the increase, but let's go at it expectantly. You know, this evening, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you close enough to the Lord to be able to hear the Holy Spirit? Whatever he asks of you, are you willing to do it? Are you aware of the need around you? You know, I think for me, something God's been burning my heart with is, I think my heart's an anaconda, right? I watch the video and I think, I'm ready to be there, right? Here I am, I'm ready to be back home and be with the people of Anaconda. But right now, God has me here, and he's going to have people that I'm going to meet that I need to share his word with right now. And God in your lives has someone he wants you to share his word with. It's not just through missionaries. It's not through your pastor. It's through you. God wants to use you tonight. Are you expecting great things from the Lord? You know, this evening, who are you praying for? Who are you watering with prayer? Tonight, God wants to use you guys. He wants this story. He wants the story of the Samaritans to happen in Shelby, North Carolina. But what are we going to do about it? Right? Jesus was ready. He was ready to drop everything and focus on bringing glory to the Lord by sharing his word. And tonight, God wants us to do the same. It's not that complicated. Will you do it? Will you take time for God to show you someone and then pray for that someone? And will you pray for God to give you boldness to reap the harvest tonight? What does God have for your life? Or will you do it? Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, you are such a wonderful God. And Lord, you've put people in our lives. Give us the courage. Lord, give us the focus and the boldness just to proclaim your word to the people you've laid on our hearts, the people you've put in our path. And Lord, may we just enjoy watching you give the increase in our lives. Well, thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name.